Hello and welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for Woodbine Saturday Card. We've got three guests. We're going to start off with one to give us the lay of the land and let us know how things have been going up there at Woodbine. That's going to be our buddy from the Woodbine simulcast feed, Jeff Bratt. And then later in the show, we're going to bring in a couple of handicappers, an odd couple of handicappers, if you will, to bring us through their high-level thoughts on each of the races on this stakes-laden Saturday. And we're going to kick things off right now.
We kick off the show with a returning guest, but he's in a little bit different role. We've had him on here handicapping before, but we now have him on in more of a ceremonial role, helping us kick off this fantastic week of racing at Woodbine. We now bring in, you know him from the simulcast feed up there and from his fantastic Twitter as well, Jeff Bratt. How are things, my friend? What are the vibes like up north of the border?
Oh, Pete, we are excited because the Turf Festival for us here at Woodbine has finally arrived. Can't wait for it. So my favorite race of the season is the Patterson Canadian International. We have three Breeders' Cup Challenge winning your in events coming up this weekend as well. So I am like a kid at a candy store. I just don't know which candy to pick, but I'm excited at this point.
That's great to hear it. Now, we haven't had an update on the meet since Queen's Plate Week. How have things been going up there in terms of getting the support of both Canadian and horse players from around North America?
You know what? It's gone really well. And a big thank you goes out to our horse players all around the world because they've made this very successful. And the fact now that we have fans back, albeit at a 50% capacity, has just made the world a difference, especially on a day like Queen's Plate Day. It just made the day more magical. And it's always nice, too, at the top of the stretch to hear the fans scream for their horses at the top of the lane. So it's just made for a much better experience. But I have to give a lot of props as well, Pete, to our horse people here at Woodbine as well, because with COVID and with the government restrictions in the springtime, we really weren't sure exactly when we were going to be able to start. So try to have a barn full of horses and you're trying to get them ready to make their seasonal debuts, and you have absolutely no idea when you're going to be able to run. That was extremely frustrating. And the fact that the horse people have come together, and we often say horse people are the toughest breed, and they've come together, and we've had a very successful meet, and I'm very proud of each and every one of them.
Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of people had to stick with and make things up on the fly, and it's obviously paying dividends now. It seems like there's been incremental gains every month, every week, maybe even, that the product has been back, and we're now at a point where there's good form to go on, and we're finding a lot of excellent wagering opportunities as well, several of which should be coming up this weekend. Tell us how it kicks off. Give us sort of an overview of what to expect at Woodbine. This show will probably drop on Thursday. So Friday through Sunday, what can we expect?
So Friday, it's interesting. On Friday, we have two stake races. They're for Ontario Sired horses, two-year-olds. So we kind of kick off the weekend there just to kind of wet the palate a little bit. And then coming up on Saturday, that's when the real fun begins, because we have the Rico Woodbine Mile, which is back after a one-year absence. We did not have it last year. The thinking behind that was, it's an international race. The border's closed. How do we get an international field? Like, it's a bit of a challenge, right?
Yes.
So that's back, and it's starting to gain a little bit of momentum, which is great to see. The Woodbine Mile is a Breeders' Cup Challenge winner in event. That will take place on that day. And we have the Canadian as well, I believe, which will take place on Saturday. So that is kind of the big stepping stone for Saturdays. And I have some breaking news for you, as a matter of fact, that we'll
love it.
Break here on the broadcast. We're going to have a mandatory payout of the Jackpot High Five on Saturday.
Oh.
And the pool is frozen, and it's just shy of $300,000 as well. So that's going to be a mandatory payout coming up on Saturday. And then Sunday, see, I love this, because I was saying this to colleague Jason Portwando earlier. I'm a bit of a Christmas geek. I love Christmas time. But Christmas, my birthday is actually the day after Christmas, so I get like two Christmases.
A Boxing Day baby right here.
A Boxing Day baby, yes. But that's the best part about this weekend, is I get my Boxing Day program on Sunday, because we have two other Breeders' Cup Challenge winner in races with Natalma on the Summer Stakes. And you've got horses and riders coming from all over around the world. Frankie Dettori is going to be back. Charlie Appleby is well represented. So yeah, it's just considering where we were like a year and a half ago with COVID, I just, I'm not taking anything ever for granted again. I'm just so happy that we're back and able to bring the great product that we have.
I think that's the key sentiment. And I'll be sad to miss this one in person. These were races that I made it to a number of years in a row, and I hope to get them back on the dance card again soon when we get a little bit further down the line. But when you look at the history of some of these races, if you want to start your Breeders' Cup handicapping early, these are races to pay attention to between the key prep that the Woodbine Mile has been for the mile, and then these two-year-old races. I mean, we just don't have that much grade one, two-year-old action. So this form is form that in a lot of years will go ahead and stand right up at the Breeders' Cup. So encourage folks to check it out and pay attention to everything. Now, we haven't drawn yet. By the time people are hearing this, we'll have drawn. As we're recording this on Wednesday, they haven't drawn yet. But are there any particular horses from this far out in any of the races this weekend, doesn't even have to be the big stakes, that you're particularly looking forward to seeing?
Well, I can tell you, we actually have drawn two of the races, because I did them earlier on today with Jason Portwando and Tim Lawson, the director of Thoroughbred Racing. So we've got the mile. The mile's done. That's a field of 10. And Cassie will start right beside one another with all three of his charges, Olympic Runner, March the Arch, and Ride a Comet. Raging Bull gets Frankie Dettori. That's a little bit of an interesting storyline for conditioner Chad Brown. You've got Duke of Hazzard, who's going to give it a bit of a shot in this spot. You've got the local kind of dream horse in here, that being Town Cruise as well. I really don't have my definitive opinion as of yet, to be perfectly frank with you, when it comes to the mile. In terms of the international, that's a field of 8. Very much looking forward to that race. And I think Walton Street's the horse to be in that one. That's Appleby and Frankie Dettori, who will start from post position number 2. Although we do have the defending champion, albeit back in 2019, Desert Encounter. He's 9 years young and hasn't won a race since, but he's going to start from post position number 3. And you've got Bluegrass Parkway as well from Mike Maker. So a field of 8 for the Paths of Canary International. In terms of the two-year-olds, I don't know. Like, I was just thinking about some of the – we had Frankie Dettori on our show earlier today, and we were just kind of talking about the form, comparing Europe to the American form. And that's really tough to gauge, the two-year-olds there when they come over here to Woodbine and to North America. So that's something I'm looking forward to seeing.
Big, excellent storyline, and fantastic to have Frankie up there. Frankie riding for Chad Brown. That must have been some interesting conversations to make that happen. Did he give you any insight into how that particular jockey booking was created?
But we were looking it up. I think he's only ridden for Chad 3 times, I think, in his career. So I'm not sure how that all went down. I think maybe Chad just found out that Frank was coming and say, hey, why not take a shot with Raging Bull? So Frankie was good on our show earlier today on our post position drive. Frankie said, I think Raging Bull will take me around the track because he's very much a veteran of when it comes to racing a mile. And unfortunately for Raging Bull, when he came here to Woodbine previously for the Woodbine Mile, he didn't have the best of trips. They're hoping for a bit of a smoother journey there.
Yeah, and then, you know, last time was just kind of, I mean, I found it a bit inexplicable. I thought he was laid out to run well, and it didn't work out. But he's been, until this giant leap up in form he took this year, he'd always had that little bit of an in and outer look. I'm curious to see how he looks in that field. We're going to be doing a deep dive into every race on Saturday. We're going to have extra coverage for Sunday as well on the network. Really just wanted to kick things off with you, Jeff. And, you know, the great thing about Woodbine is this meet's going to be continuing apace. And, you know, we'll have a chance to get you back on to do some handicapping as the season marches on here. It's just been great to have it back into full swing. And I really look forward, hopefully next year, when I could do my traditional September trip up north of the border, go to Woodbine several days, and also check out the Toronto International Film Festival, which I understand is back as well.
Yeah, no, it is back too, and our baseball team is playing well. Like, life is good in Toronto right now. We are happy campers right now. But Pete, when you come up, you know you have a seat right beside me anytime, buddy. And always great catching up with you.
Appreciate the support. Appreciate all the work you do on television, helping give horse players the information we need to cash some tickets up there at Woodbine. Jeff, look forward to seeing you on TV and seeing you soon.
Keep up the great work, Pete. Thanks, buddy.
For our next segment, I've got together a team that I'm extremely pleased with. We did a show for the Queen's Plate. I love the way that the content came out. I don't know how to describe it. It's really, I think I said this on the show last time, but the contrast in energy between these two men, I feel like, you know, if you're a Sesame Street fan, I feel like we've got the positive energy of a big bird combined with the sharp but slightly gruff tones of I'm just going to say it, Oscar the Grouch, when it comes to these two. The first one is here. Oscar's a little late. The man who's here right now with his infectious enthusiasm for all things regarding racing up in Canada. He's my man, Jason Portuondo. Jason, how are things?
I'm just happy I'm Big Bird, because if you called me the grouchy one, I don't know if this thing was going to actually happen. Always a lot of fun. Always a lot of fun. And hopefully Grouchy will join us in a bit.
I don't think he'll be offended. I think he relishes the role. It's a very charismatic. I'm not knocking him. It's like a very charming gruffness. But it was just, you know, some of the stuff he busted out on the last show about these, you know, he really like takes it. I mean, he takes it personally when the favorites win. I love that.
Yep, we did not agree once last time on Queen's Plate Day. So let's see what this weekend has to offer.
We got 12 races. We're going to start off in race number one. Maybe we'll loop back, and I'm making it sound like he's a surprise guest, but people who've read the description of the show know we're talking about the guy who does a fantastic job with the Handicapper's Journal up there, Doug McPherson. He'll hopefully be here in a moment. But let's get your take, Jason, on these first couple of races at Woodbine, starting with this starter allowance that kicks things off on the card for fillies and mares going 6.5 on the scent. Yeah, we'll do it like last time, kind of rapid fire. One pick, one reason in this race that kicks off this card on Saturday.
Not the toughest optional 40, by the way. I think it's a great way to kick things off. Wide open field of 10. I'm going to go Ride the Wind. Was able to break through two back on synthetic and then went back to the turf. And I tried her again most recently on September 3rd. And just kind of an even race. A little bit lackluster. I mean, the trip wasn't the greatest. The horse looked a little bit intimidated. I'm going to give her another shot in here. I think, like I said off the top, not the toughest optional 40. I think she's a solid fit, figures-wise. Just a little bit better trip, I think, would really help the cause. I don't want to see her down along the inside, and she shouldn't be as she draws outside post 9. So I think she's got a big shot in the opener.
Ride the Wind, going with this 3-1 morning line predicted runner who does appear like a good trip is going to be in the offing in race number one. Let's talk about race number two. We've got 3 and up maidens, 123,000 in the pot. Another interesting wrinkle here, going a mile and an eighth on the synthetic surface. Jason, who do you think is going to be suited to this task?
Well, I like 9 again, but I'm going to flip it upside down. I'm going to go with Desert Eagle, the 6. I'm hoping Gallardo wins the double here. By the way, Gallardo and Kevin Attard, their numbers are just off the chain. Last time I checked, 25-24%. So, yeah, they're a really good combination. Desert Eagle, here's a horse for trainer Josie Carroll. At one point, they actually had Queen's Plate aspirations with this guy. It didn't pan out. He was trying to play catch-up, and, you know, you could actually do that this year with the late start to the plate in August, like it was August 22nd. But, you know, he debuted on synthetic. He was just okay. It wasn't enough for Josie to say, you know, let's continue on and try to get to the plate. They actually called a bit of an audible. They tried turf, and he didn't pick up his feet at all. And I just think getting back to synthetic, I think he's going to love going a mile and an eighth. You know, his breeding by a Lemon Drop Kid, you know, out of a Dyna former mare, all day long he can run. And I think he's got a legit shot at a good price. He's 10-1 on the line. Beyond Borders for Cassie and Kimura is going to get all the attention. That's fine by me, because that horse has a penchant for finishing second. Last three starts, in fact. So Desert Eagle, for me, I think he's going to love the mile and an eighth trip.
I agree about the breeding, and I also like the fact that in that first run, not sure if the listeners can hear me dialing Doug on the other line here as I try to patch him
do.
In, but we'll have him in a minute. But I did think there was a little excuse in that first race in terms of it being a bit of a move into a fast pace. So back on the synthetic with more ground, I think that's a very interesting selection, and we'll see if you can get your Gallardo double. There's the man, Doug McPherson. How are
you? There he is.
Finally here. Better late than never.
No, you did very well. You're here early enough. We just you know, we're doing like last time, sort of rapid fire through the races, one pick, one reason kind of thing. I say we haven't gone far enough. Let's loop back and get your first two selections, Doug. Starting off with this race number one that kicks things off on Saturday. Where did you end up landing?
Yeah, race number one, I ended up on the 9 horse, Ride the Wind for Kevin Attard and Antonio Gallardo. ran well enough against a pretty good group on the turf 2 weeks ago. And I think fits pretty well with this group. I don't think it's an overly tough group for the price.
Well, I'll tell you what. It took 13 races on Queen's Plate Day, and it never happened. It happened in one race here on Woodbine Mile Day.
There we go. We're together.
Jason and Doug, my odd couple of analysts that I love putting together on these shows, agree. How about race number two, Doug? How are you going to close out this early double?
Race two, I've got a bit of a long shot in the number 8, Maritime Mission. He was taken out of his normal running style last time when dueling on the lead at Dueling Hard, going a mile and a quarter. And he was still contentious well into the race. So I think that's not a horrible effort. His two efforts before that in July were both good. I think with a closing style, he should be some sort of a factor. A
couple of interesting long shots from the panel in race number 2. Jason going with the 6 and Doug the 8. That brings us to our first stakes race of the day. The Grade 2 Canadian 3 and up fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth on the turf. Doug, we're going to keep it with you.
I have the Journal's best bet of the day in this race, and it's number 2, Our Secret Agent for Mark Cassie. She ran really well in her turf debut in the Nassau 2 starts ago behind Jolly Olympica and Abscond. That's a good group of horses. And then last time, she's second best behind Boardroom, who's an absolute monster in synthetic sprints. I think this horse has a lot of potential to move forward with more experience on turf and stretching out.
Yeah, maybe even a chance to lead in a race that doesn't seem to have an abundance of pace. Jason, what do you think is going to win this year's Canadian?
That's a solid pick, by the way. I love the fact that they supplemented that filly as well, Our Secret Agent. And how can you not like a horse that has yet to miss the podium at 12 starts? I'm going to go Mervilla. I think she'll go off as the favorite. Kevin Attarda's done really well in this race. He's won 2 of the last 3 editions, a couple with Starship Jubilee in 18 and 19. And it's just a weird race. There are no graded stakes winners in here, which is weird to say considering we're talking about a Grade 2. But obviously that's going to change for somebody. And Mervilla, you know, Doug talked about Our Secret Agent. Well, the two of them basically kind of ran down the stretch together. Our Secret Agent out finishing Mervilla and the Nassau. And I think both are going to be factors coming up on the weekend.
Race number 4 is a starter allowance. Fillies and mares going 6 on the synthetic. Jason, who's your idea of the winner?
I'm hoping she's going to be the speed of the speed. I like I'm a Beast. And I know that there's going to be obviously other early foot in here because we're going 3/4. I like the move going turf to tap. I think that's really going to be a good thing for her. She's very quick. Last time on the turf, speed then faded. All right, just put a line through that. Haven't seen her in 2 months, but the works coming back are good enough for me, and she comes out of a key race. And I'm just hoping that Contreras gets to the front and just keeps on going. I'll take the speed of I'm a Beast.
Doug, what do you think?
I went with one of the chalks here, the number 9, Starlight Ridge. She's 2 for 2 on the synthetic, and she's getting on it for the first time since last October. And her turf races this year have been good enough. You know, it's hard to argue with her form, and I like her getting back on the main track.
All right, good stuff there in race number 4. A little bit more variety once again. Race 5, 3 and up fillies and mares in the allowance ranks going 7 furlongs on the turf. Doug, who's it going to be?
I'm going with the 6 here for the Red Hot Zelko Kretschmar barn. This is Antigone. Zelko is a barn mate of mine. He's in the same barn as us. He's a friend of mine. Love the guy. And he's got this mare in great form. She's won 3 in a row, including, you know, she had a horrible trip and ride. No offense, because she was not a good ride when she won last night. She still won. And, you know, this is the time to take a shot in an allowance race with a horse like this.
All right. I like it. And a hunch play for fans of Greek mythology as well, which we always like around here. Jason, what do you think? Are you with Antigone, or do you see this a different way?
I respect her, and I'm glad she didn't race in the Belle Mahome because I think that was a little bit too spicy of a spot for her. This is way more to her liking. So, yeah, you got to have her in the conversation. She's just too good right now. I'm going to try Pledge. 10-1 on the line, you get Wilson and Cassie teaming up with his daughter of Candy Ride. I kind of feel like she was just rushed off her feet in that 5-furlong turf race last time out on the inside course. And I think now stretching out to 7, a little bit of a chance for her just to relax and get into a nice little rhythm, a nice little cadence. I think she's worth a look. And what a fabulous betting race. I don't think there's anybody that stands out in that affair.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, you've got this favorite 5-2 Spitestown Sherrill, who will surely catch money based on reputation and goes with a chance. But I feel like, 4-1 the field beyond that, probably, if not even a little higher. Definitely an interesting affair, this fifth race at Woodbine on Saturday. We move to the two-year-olds for our sixth race, going 1 mile on the inner, and a field of 9 signed on. Jason, what do you think?
Outside draw for many with two-year-old first-time starters is a negative. I'm going to say it's a positive. I like fast feet to get out of there. I'd rather be on the outside. I know that sometimes two-year-olds have that tendency to break out to the right. I get it, but I'm hoping that this one, will be clear of any, inside trouble, obviously being in the furthest outside position. Kimura and Cassie, they're 8 of 58 at the meet. 14%. They were the second best tandem last year behind, I think, Hernandez and Cassie, if I'm not mistaken. The works are good enough, and you take a look at Taurus. I know he's only about 8% with his two-year-old firsters, but there's some grass in the pedigree as well, and the mare able to drop 4 two-year-old debut winners. I should say Mark Cassie has 4 two-year-old debut winners, not the mare, and Cassie chance to add to those numbers, and obviously with two-year-olds, a bit of a guess, and that's my guess, fast feet.
Yeah, I don't mind tourists going a mile first out this time of the year on grass. I mean, I feel like that we're getting more into the wheelhouse of what I imagine he's going to be good at as a sire, for whatever that's worth. Doug, who's your choice?
Oh, God, I hate this race very much. My pick is 7, Rapper Zapper, who I think I picked this horse a few weeks ago when it ran. I might have picked it second. I can't remember. Showed very little when in an off-turf race. I'm hoping, this is a brother to Holy Helena and a couple other decent horses. I'm hoping the distance and actually getting on turf will be good. Maybe the blinkers will help, although I don't have that much faith in the blinkers making that much of a difference. I'm really just hoping it's the turf and the route distance that wakes this horse up.
All right, Rapper Zapper, a tepid vote from Doug in race number 6. Race number 7, the allowance ranks this time around. 7 furlongs on the turf. Big full field of 14 going to post here. Doug, do you have any more enthusiasm for this contest?
So my pick here is a horse I've been chasing a bit through this year. It's the 5-horse Desolator, who I'm a little disappointed he's the favorite, but I kind of come to expect it. Other than his first race this year when he was going 1 mile to 16th off of the layoff, look at the company he's kept. He runs second behind Lepachka, who is he's ridiculously good right now. Then he runs third behind Sir Seamus, my dad's horse, who had a loose lead that day, and then Mr. Diffley was second. And then he runs second behind Mr. Diffley, who, would beat him the start before. Like, he's running really well against really good horses, and I think this is the easiest field he's been in all year. So I'm hoping the trip works out and we can get the job done.
Looks to probably be likely to get a setup in this spot as well, I will say, for that closing style with plenty of speed signed on. Jason, how about you?
I've got the one on my $250,000 guaranteed pick 5 ticket. So, yeah, definitely have him in play. I'm going to go Stormy Soul. Horse looked really good off of an almost 9-month layoff. And I know some will say, well, what about the bounce? And I'm going to say glass half full and say he's going to be even better. Stormy Atlantic on the top there, 12% with his turf debut horses. The mare with stakes placed on the grass made $122,000. A couple of turf winning siblings along the way. I'm going to go back to Gallardo and Kevin Attar to get it done with Stormy Soul. That work as well, September the 11th, 47-3, breezing with the dogs out on the grass, says this guy's ready to go on the green.
And if there's a horse that's going to prove to be the speed of the speed in this spot, I would imagine it is Stormy Soul. And he's also shown the ability to stalk and pounce as well. So not necessarily one-way speed either. And I think we have determined definitively, Jason, that if Gallardo has a good day, you're having a good day.
Yes. Well, wait till we get to the next race.
Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Race number 8. We'll talk about here. We're back in the maiden ranks. 2-year-olds once again. 7 furlongs on the synthetic. And I believe that that Jason has just tipped his hand that he's picking number 8, Hidden Honor. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know the way you feel, Doug, but I hate when you're handicapping and you realize you picked some trainer or some rider so many times. You're like, they're not going to win 18 races on the card. So it's just like, oh. But anyways,
I'm surprised when I land on the same rider all the time.
I know it's crazy, but yeah, you know, you look at Honor Code was pretty good in his own right as a youngster, and he does okay with his two-year-old debut runners. You know, I'm hoping this one's good to go. I mean, the work's definitely sizzling in the morning. I mean, back on July 30th, you see a 47 from the gate. And again, with two-year-olds, you can look into everything, lineage, workouts, connections. End of the day, you just have to hope everything, you know, is aligned. I went four deep in this race, but I do have the eight hidden on or on top.
If you don't mind, just because, you know, it is interesting to hear, what was your full spread?
I'm going to use the 2, the 7, the 8, and the 10.
2, 7, and 10. But the 8 is the top pick. And, yeah, the Honor Code numbers aren't great but with firsters. But, again, 7 furlongs later in the season, I'm tempted to forgive that and say, you know, just try to evaluate this horse as an individual. More clues to come from the way that they bet and the paddock. Doug, how did you see this one?
Right.
I got a price here, and again, this two-year-old races, I'm not a big fan when there's a lot of first-time starters, so I usually gravitate towards horses that have run a couple times, so I've got the 3 here, Cloud Play for Tim Hamm. You know, he ran a well-beaten 5th first time out, but the runner-up of that race has since won a Florida Sire Stakes. He ran better second time out, and kind of my angle here is Tim Hamm had the horse training on the dirt at Thistledown for a while, and then shipped him over to Erie up the road at Presque Isle and worked him once on the Tapita there, and now all of a sudden he's shipping him up here to race here on our big weekend on our Tapita. So I don't know if that's him tipping his hand or if he just couldn't get a race to fill at Presque Isle or what the story is, but the horses run okay enough, and maybe he's going to be a good synthetic horse.
That's all I need. That kind of angle, it might be a softer kind of angle. It's all I need to bet a horse that's going to be double digits in an open-looking race, for whatever it's worth. Race number 9, Grade 1 action, the Canadian International, a mile and a half on the turf. Doug, who's going to be in the winner's circle when this is all said and done?
I hate to go with an 8-5-er, but I like Walton Street, the 2. You know, ran really well when coming off the layoff in Germany last month. You can't argue with a horse that got beat 3.5 lengths to Mishriff in Dubai.
No.
You know, he's a good horse. He should be in good order for this race. He looks like the best one to me.
Jason, chance for agreement here, or did you go another direction?
Yeah, I'm with Doug. I mean, not the toughest of fields that he's going to face here coming up on the weekend, and Frankie Dettori knows how to win this race. He's been in it 6 times. He's won it 3 times. And, yeah, I think Charles Appleby said, Frankie, it's going to be worth the trip for you to come and ride this guy. And at a small price, I think he gets it done. Desert Encounter, I respect that guy. I mean, he's 9 years old. He's still doing his thing. He hasn't won since the 2019 edition of this race, so he's in a bit of a slump there. But, yeah, Walton Street, I think, at odds on wins this.
What a story it would be if Desert Encounter could make some noise. But I think the right play is to fade him. Walton Street's certainly a likely winner in that one. Let's move on to the race. Gives the day its name, for me anyway. Grade 1 Woodbine Mile. Key winning you're in action for the Breeders' Cup Mile as well. Jason, who's it going to be?
I'm going to go with the reigning Eclipse Award winning trainer of the year, Brad Cox. And the hottest jockey on the planet, Joel Rosario. I think he won 3,000 races on a four-day card or four-meet card, whatever you want to call it, four-day meet at Kentucky Downs. Yeah, he's just riding unreal right now, and he has been for some time. And I know the horse didn't win last time out, but Got Stormy, she's legit, obviously, and I think that effort in the four-star Dave is just going to set this guy up really nicely. Needs some racing luck in terms of a target. I know there's going to be speed from the local horse on the inside, Town Cruise, and I'm hoping Change of Control is going to push that one. Hopefully that mare pushes that one. She's been in a series of sprints, and Set Piece gets the proper set up. I think he's the winner.
All right. I mean, I think that's interesting, the idea of Change of Control maybe helping make the race. I was worried about the closers in this race for that reason, but that's an interesting case with Change of Control, the mare on the stretch out. Doug, what's you? What do you think is going to happen in this year's Woodbine Mile?
So I'm picking the same horse I picked in last year's Woodbine Mile, and that's the 3 March to the Arch. I love when I see March to the Arch on the overnight because, like, to me, it means I don't have to do much handicapping. I'm almost automatically going to pick this horse. I love this horse. Last time in the King Edward, I know that it says traffic in the stretch, and I don't really agree. I think it was more a slow break that kind of cost him. He can get better position than he did last time, and he really does well on this turf course. Like, I certainly believe if more American tracks had a E.P. Taylor-style turf course, this horse would already be a Grade 1 winner probably more than once. You know, he really likes it here, and I think on his best day, he can beat these horses.
He certainly does well. Yeah, it does well with that galloping configuration for sure, and certainly one of the cooler horses in the race. Hard to, I mean, 8-1.
One thing that bothered me about him, guys, was getting off Lasix. I'm not sure how he's going to handle that, right? So that's a reason why I went to Set Piece as well, just because I wanted to see a horse that can, you know, has been proven without the medication. So just something to think about.
Does that give you any cause for pause, Doug, or do you feel like the likely price?
No, that's his boy. Yeah.
here's the thing about me. I almost never look at I look at off Lasix as a positive most of the time. I don't even look at on Lasix as an angle 90% of the time. I could care less about Lasix.
Yeah.
That's just me. So it's for me, I don't talk about it. I don't care about it, but I understand why others do.
Race number 11, $40,000 claimers, 6.5 on the synthetic.
Okay. Sorry, that.
No, do
Doug
it.
Doug has March to the Art.
Yeah.
This is my version. I love Reconfigure. And, you know, I really feel like he's sitting on a win. It was a painful beat last time out versus Hold It All of all horses. But Reconfigure, I think, is going to be in a perfect position post-10 Patrick riding. I think he's got a chance to keep an eye on everything happening to his inside.
Doug, how do you see it?
Yeah, I picked Reconfigure as well. Reconfigure is a tough horse because he's a major hanger. So if you make the front too early, you're not going to hold on. And that's kind of what happened last time. Two starts ago, the trip was a nightmare. The race before that, somehow he ended up on the lead. You know, he really hasn't had much go his way this year. But when the rider can make sure to wait and wait and wait to hit the front, he's really tough.
Reconfigure, a double selection in race 11, which brings us to the race that will have this $299,000 super high five force out. Our 12th race starter allowance, 6.5 on the synth. Doug, how are we going to get paid?
We're going with a 20-1 shot, number 4, Candy Overload. Delete every race that's not a main track sprint and tell me this horse isn't the favorite. If we just go on main track sprints, he's the best horse in the race, and he shouldn't be 20-1. That's it.
I love it. I mean, I love that type of handicapping through that filter. Candy Overload, 20-1. Let's hear your thought on this one, Jason, before we can let you guys get out of here, get back to your lives on a Thursday night.
I can make it easy, what he just said.
Really? You had the
Hang
same...
With everything. With everything. He will not be 20-1. He will not be 20-1. And failed experiment, this guy I don't think wants to route. He tried in the Marine. He tried, but he's an off-the-pace sprinter. That's what he is. And gets back to doing that today on synthetic, coming up on Saturday, I should say. And his lone win was turf to tap. He's going turf to tap coming up, and I will start my high five with the same number 4.
I love it, and definitely a horse to think about feathering in different places, because in a race with plenty of speed, definitely has that finishing ability, and hopefully you maybe in the super high five you preserve some of that morning line 20-1 value that you guys are thinking we might not get in the win pool. That is all the time we have, gentlemen. I loved it as always getting to catch up with you two, and let's do it again before the end of the season. Doug and Jason, thank you so much for your time today. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. We'd like to thank Jeff Bratt, Doug McPherson, and Jason Portuondo for their contributions, and we especially want to thank all our friends up there at Woodbine. Been a really successful season working with them, and we're hoping to keep the good momentum going. Some of my favorite racing in North America happens north of the border. Can't wait to get back there when schedules and travel and the world allow. Really do love it up there at Woodbine. Thank them once again so much for all their support since the very beginnings of the In the Money Network. You want to support us, support our partners? That means betting Woodbine this Saturday and whenever you can, really. We really appreciate it. Okay. That's going to do it. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos.